So what if the absolute biggest bottleneck to solving our most massive, complex problems, like the really big ones, isn't a lack of
Right,
resources?
or a lack of willpower, even.
Exactly. What if the actual bottleneck is just that we're all, sitting around waiting for a hero?
Which we are totally conditioned to do, by the way.
We really are. Culturally, we're just conditioned to wait for that charismatic leader, the visionary with a microphone who can just step up, rally the masses, and point the way forward.
But the issue is, what happens when the problems get just, well, too complex for any single human mind to understand, let alone actually solve?
Which is exactly why we are plunging into today's deep dive. We are so glad you're here with us today, by the way, because today we are unpacking a document that basically challenges every single assumption we have about leadership and problem solving.
It really tears the whole blueprint down.
It does. It's this essay. Well, honestly, it's more of a manifesto titled, "We Do Not Need Another Charismatic Leader. We Need Conscious Mastery" by the Reverend Futurist Erskine Matthews.
And we should clarify, our mission today is to just explore this proposed paradigm shift in the text, moving away from like instinctual survival and stepping into this highly organized, tech-enhanced collective intelligence. We're just laying out the author's arguments here, not taking sides.
Right, exactly. We're just looking at the framework. And if you find yourself wondering how human sociology is even going to survive the next wave of technological acceleration, you are definitely in the right place.
Yeah, because this document, it isn't just a theoretical academic paper. It is the foundational philosophy for an emerging social media and civic intelligence ecosystem.
Called New Beings 1619, right?
Exactly. New Beings 1619. This is literally a blueprint for a functioning platform.
Okay, so let's establish the baseline premise here because it kind of sets the stage for everything else. The author points out that for generations, Black Americans have demonstrated this incredible, almost like instinctive ability to assess reality, to adapt under immense pressure. Right, and to build culture all while navigating systems that were, often actively hostile and dealing with severely limited resources.
And the text makes a point to note this isn't just happening in political arenas. It's this comprehensive survival mechanism operating in neighborhoods, businesses, families, even through art and language. It's like a constant ambient intelligence.
Yeah, ambient intelligence is a great way to put it, but the author makes a really crucial distinction here. Historically, a lot of this intelligence has operated instinctively, like a reflexive response to a
You
crisis.
just do what you have to do to survive and thrive in that exact moment.
Right. But the goal of New Beings 1619 isn't to invent a whole new kind of intelligence. It's to take that existing instinctual action, observe the patterns of what actually works, and elevate it to what the author calls conscious mastery.
So moving from just reacting to reality to actively shaping it,
Yes.
and to achieve that conscious mastery, to act with both speed and precision, the author introduces a very specific methodology.
They call it the Black American Solution Cipher.
Exactly, the solution cipher. The text defines this as a dynamic, fluid methodology for recognizing problems, assessing options, testing solutions, and then, moving forward.
But to really get how it works, we have to look at the ingredients the author is blending together here, because it is a wildly unusual mix.
It really is. It bridges two completely different worlds.
Yeah, so the cipher starts with some very established, rigorous academic frameworks. The text mentions SWOT analysis, the nominal group technique, and the Delphi method.
Right, which are very textbook.
Super textbook. So before we go any further, let's actually just unpack what those are really quickly so you can see how they function here. So a SWOT analysis, pretty common in business, it stands for analyzing strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats.
It's basically a way to map the terrain before you make any moves.
Exactly. Then you have the nominal group technique. Now, in a traditional brainstorming session, the loudest person in the room usually just dominates, right?
Oh, always. It's the curse of literally every town hall meeting ever.
Yes. But the nominal group technique prevents that. Basically, everyone writes down their ideas independently. Then the group discusses them, but purely for clarification. And finally, everyone secretly votes to rank the ideas.
So it strips away the influence of loud personalities.
Right. It forces the group to evaluate the actual merit of the ideas themselves. And then there's the Delphi method, which is similar, but it usually involves multiple rounds of anonymous questionnaires sent out to a panel of experts.
And after each round, The facilitator shares a summary of what everyone said, right?
Yeah, and then the experts can revise their answers based on the group's feedback until they finally reach a consensus.
So you have these three very structured, highly academic tools designed to extract objective data and build consensus. But, and this is key, the author argues that if you just rely on these rigid textbook methods alone, you will fail.
Because reality is just way too messy.
Exactly.
And that introduces the non-academic ingredient the author adds to the mix, which is Black American je ne sais quoi.
Which fundamentally changes how these academic tools are applied. The text explicitly states that this cipher does not force a community challenge into a rigid sequence just because, you know, a textbook dictates it.
Okay, let me try an analogy here to see if I'm grasping how these elements actually interact. It makes me think of, like, a master chef cooking.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Right. So it's not forcing a community challenge into a rigid academic textbook recipe where you absolutely have to use every ingredient in the exact same order every time.
Because that's not how real cooking works.
Exactly. Sometimes you need a full SWOT analysis, but sometimes you just need to review and adapt on the fly because reality, the heat of the kitchen demands it.
That is a highly effective way to visualize it. I mean, why this matters is that it highlights the huge difference between rigid academic theory and responsive real-world application. Frameworks are entirely useless if they just break the second they encounter real-world friction.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if the academic tools are the structure, then the je ne sais quoi is the lifeblood that makes the cipher actually work.
It's the fluid intelligence that tells the community when to use a strict nominal group technique and when to just bypass a step entirely because the situation on the ground has shifted.
Okay, let's drill down into that term je ne sais quoi. Because people usually just say that when they can't quite put their finger on why something is special, but the author gives it a highly specific definition here.
They do. The text defines it as this unique instinct to recognize what is real beneath polished language.
That is such a good phrase.
It really is. And it's also the cultural memory required to spot patterns that others overlook. And crucially, it's the ability to take limited resources and execute a plan with style, wit, flair, and grace.
Okay, that first part, recognizing what is real beneath polished language, strikes me as so critical. But I do want to push back on this a bit, just playing devil's advocate.
Sure, go for it.
We live in a world that completely obsesses over quantifiable data, right? If a city council is looking at a proposal, they want spreadsheets. They want metrics. So how does the author justify building a civic intelligence platform around something as intangible as, like, discernment between what is merely attractive versus truly useful?
Well, you're touching on a fundamental debate about what actually constitutes data.
Mm-hmm.
The author's arguing that lived experience and cultural intuition are a form of highly complex data.
It's hard to put in a spreadsheet.
Precisely. It's incredibly difficult to capture on a traditional graph. This capacity has always been there, operating unconsciously in the background.
Right.
The true innovation of New Being 1619 isn't trying to force that je ne sais quoi into a metric. It's providing an environment, what the author calls a living forge, where instinct, experience, and disciplined judgment are shaped into actual solutions.
A living forge. So if a community is unlocking this incredible collective intelligence, the traditional ways of organizing people suddenly start to look pretty obsolete.
Completely obsolete. Which introduces what might be the most disruptive idea in the whole text.
The end of the charismatic leader.
Yes. Abandoning the idea that progress relies on finding one charismatic leader to carry the hopes and fears of millions of people.
See, I have to push back here again. Wait, isn't it just human nature to want a hero? I mean, look at history. Charismatic leaders have mobilized so much attention and driven massive movements.
And it's a valid critique.
Mm.
But using the author's logic from the text, yes, charisma can inspire. It can mobilize attention.
Mm.
But it cannot substitute for disciplined thought, shared responsibility, or tested results.
Because the loudest voice isn't automatically the wisest. We establish that with the nominal group technique.
Exactly. The text argues that the stakes are too high and modern problems are too complex to rely on a personality cult or unquestioned authority. If that singular leader has a blind spot, the whole movement walks right off a cliff.
Wow. Okay, so what is the proposed alternative then? How do decisions get made?
It's a decentralized leadership model based on informed votes within New Beings 1619. Leadership emerges purely through contribution, usefulness, and competence.
So no personality cults, no unquestioned authority.
None.
But wait, decentralizing leadership among millions of people could so easily lead to just absolute chaos without a way to organize all those voices. I mean, millions of people debating strategy sounds like a nightmare.
It would be, manually. And this is exactly where the advanced technology enters the picture.
Okay, so how does New Beings 1619 plan to use tech here? The text mentions AI-powered predictive analytics, data gathering, and advanced voting tools.
Right, but the text makes a very rigid distinction here, and it's crucial. The goal is not to hand human judgment over to machines.
Oh, that's a relief, because the moment you say AI decision-making, people understandably start to panic.
Rightfully so. But here, tech is positioned strictly as an assistant. It's a mirror, not a master. It does the heavy lifting of sorting the data so human judgment can be sharper by seeing patterns at scale.
I love the author's analogy for this in the text, and I just have to share it with you guys listening. They compare the solution cipher working with this tech to an expert jazz ensemble.
That's a brilliant analogy.
Because if you think about a jazz band, you have structure and improvisation happening at the exact same time without canceling each other out. The tech and the academic frameworks, that's the structure. They are the rhythm section keeping time.
Mm-hmm.
But the human collective, bringing their je ne sais quoi, that's the improvisation. The AI sets the tempo, but the humans are playing the music.
And mastering this specific kind of jazz, this blend of high-tech structure and human instinct, the author argues it's a strict necessity right now because of what humanity is currently entering.
The singularity.
Yes. The text highlights a real urgency here. As we enter the singularity, this period of accelerated technological and social change, communities must move with both speed and accuracy.
Which is such a brilliant warning from the author, because speed alone just means you're moving really quickly in the wrong direction.
You're just automating your own destruction.
Right. But accuracy alone means you spend 5 years studying a problem, and you understand it perfectly, but you're too late. The problem has already evolved.
Exactly. You must have both. And the thesis is that you cannot achieve that balance by waiting for a single charismatic leader. It requires disciplined, decentralized participation facilitated by tech.
So, to summarize the core journey of this deep dive, it's really about moving from instinct to conscious mastery. It's trading the charismatic leader for decentralized wisdom, and it's using tech as a jazz instrument to play the solution cipher.
And the text closes with a final call to action. The author urges Black Americans to join the platform, to bring their lived experiences, and to actively refine this system in the living forge.
It's a really powerful vision. And to kind of ground the emotional weight of everything we've just unpacked, the author actually ends the essay with a short piece of poetry. Would you read that for us?
I'd be glad to. The sign-off reads, "Our wisdom lives in every test, refined together, made its best. With vote and vision, we arise and shape tomorrow with clear eyes."
Refined together, made its best. I mean, that is just a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah.
Now, before we sign off, I want to leave you listening with one final thought to mull over something we haven't even mentioned yet.
Okay, let's hear it.
If technology can actually successfully amplify the decentralized collective wisdom of a community without losing its unique cultural essence, how might that completely reshape how we view authority in our own everyday lives?
Oh, wow.
Right. Because if the loudest voice in the room is no longer automatically in charge, what happens to the traditional corporate or political hierarchies we navigate every single day?
It forces you to question every power structure you interact with.
It really does. Maybe it's time we stop waiting for a hero and learn to play in the ensemble. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. We encourage you to keep questioning, keep learning, and as always, keep diving deep. We'll catch you next time.